talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Well, it's a beautiful day out there. Currently, it is 58 degrees. Northwest wind, 7 miles an hour. Gusting up 13 with 36% humidity. So I have a very special guest on today. He'll be up after in my second segment coming up here in about real shortly, about 8-10 minutes. Climatologist Gary McManus from the Oklahoma Mesonet. He's going to be in here to talk with me for some segments. So we are streaming live on Facebook. We're streaming live on KECO FM. The KECO Ag text line is wide open. So if you want to ask a question through the text line to Gary about anything going on with our climate change, climate, period. You're more than welcome to text in, and if I can get to it, I will, but I don't know what I already got to. Well, that was quick. So anyway, he'll be on here coming up shortly, and it's going to be a good time. Lacey highly recommended him. She said he is full of knowledge. He's been with our Oklahoma climatologist stuff since 1999 here, so you know he knows his stuff. While soybean futures were higher in overnight trading after the USDA lowered its forecast for ending stockpiles in a report yesterday, inventories at the end of the 2021-22 marketing year will total 325 million metric tons. The USDA said in its monthly world agriculture supply and demand estimates. That's down from the previous outlook of 350 million metric tons. The U.S. also lowered its projection for output in Brazil, the world's largest exporter of the oil seeds, to 134 million metric tons, and that's down from 139 that they estimated, so down about 5 million. Argentina production is now seen by the agency at 45 million metric tons, down from December 46.5 estimate million tons. So there you go. Wheat futures were also higher overnight after the U.S. Ag Department lowered its outlook for global ending stocks to 278.2 million metric tons, and that's from the previous of 280 million metric tons last month. Is what they estimated, 280 million. Production is now seen at 776.4 million metric tons from the previous projection of 778.6. So that was down a couple. Soybean futures for March delivery jumped 19.5 cents to $16.14 a bushel on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal was up $8.60 to $4.70. a short ton, and soybean oil futures were up 0.63 cents to 64.73 cents a pound. Corn futures for March delivery gained 2 cents to $6.48¾ a bushel. Wheat for March delivery added 7¾ cents to $7.92¾ a bushel, while Kansas City futures rose 6¾ cents to $8.21¾ a bushel. Well, ethanol production drops to 4-month low. They need to get that production back up, because if you buy fuel along Interstate 40, I'm sure you've noticed this week that it's up about to $4.09 the last I checked. So it's getting on up there. But production of the biofuel dropped an average at 994,000 barrels a day in the week that ended February 4th. That's down from the 1.041 million barrels a day the previous week before that. In the Midwest, so far, the biggest producing region, output fell to an average of 939,000 barrels, and that's down from 981,000 barrels a week earlier. So it looks like everybody's East Coast production increased a little bit, 1,000 barrels a day. Gulf Coast declined to 20,000. That's down 5,000 barrels. So hopefully they get it back up. I'm not sure why. I know oil is up. Don't get me wrong. Crude oil was up 90, 93 bucks. But I don't know if you guys noticed, the diesel went berserk. Road diesel went berserk, that is. And gasoline come up, but it didn't come up nothing like that road diesel. And, of course, I'm driving a diesel truck. Well, a winter weather advisory has been issued for western North Dakota and two northern Michigan, according to the National Weather Service. From 4 to 9 inches of snow is expected across northern Minnesota starting late this afternoon. Winds are forecast to be as high as 35 miles an hour. Northern Wisconsin is expected to get like 4 more inches of snow, which may turn into a freezing drizzle overnight into Friday. A fast-moving storm system will sweep across the region tonight, according to the National Weather Service. So, looks like you guys up north need to watch out. You got it going on. I think all the weather stations and in the web weather guys are... looks like we got something coming in next week, the middle week, but looks like western Oklahoma, where the drought's going on, the severe drought's going on, they got us, last I checked, was maybe 1/4 inch of precipitation, so we need more. We got to have some more. Well, cash grain prices in Oklahoma this morning at 11 o'clock, hard red winter wheat was at $7.88 a bushel, corn's at $6.46. Milo's at $6.54, soybeans at a whopping $15.60 a bushel, and cotton just been steady. I mean, it's been anywhere from 124 to 127 the last couple weeks, and it's 126 today. And I'm going to give you a few results from the Hobart Stockyards yesterday, because I think the climatologist, Mr. Gary, and I are going to probably eat up most of the hour, so I'll give you some now. Steers, 261, bringing up to $207.50 a hundred. 338 weights, 225. 458, 212.50. 536, 205. Then you get in your 6 and 7 weights and 8 weights, they go down. 600 weights were 163.50. 770 weights was around 153. Butcher cows were bringing up to $1.19. a pound, but the average was $80 per hundred weight. Butcher bulls were up to bringing anywhere up to $1.14 a pound, and average was 86 cents a pound. So it looked like they had a pretty good sale at Hobart yesterday. Woodward calf sale, normal weekly calf sales going on today. I'll have some results tomorrow. Tomorrow, Elk City Livestock Auction will be going on, and Monday, Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction will be going on. So if you guys got any buying or selling needs, give Mr. Brandon Hickey a call and he'll take care of you. The new Penny News is out. And if you guys would, grab you one. I want you to read an article in there that Jerry Nine wrote in there about why butcher cows and butcher bulls are so high right now. So take a look at that, because I've been wondering the same thing and so has he. So I guess some packers answered his question. Well, we'll be right back after this, and don't go nowhere. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle shooter hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
My background is in AI service. if you're doing that, you're more progressive. You're not going to the sale barn and buying a bull for the cheapest you can get. You're searching for better genetics. You're searching for a better quality product. Just like, do you go down to the used car store and buy the car with all the dents and dings, or do you want the new car? We decided we'd start building our own pretty vehicles rather than going paying the price for the pretty vehicle. B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Better beef bulls at an affordable price. The Davis Angus Value Genetics Bull and Female Sale is Saturday, March 5th at the Clinton Livestock Auction at 12:30 p.m. They're feed efficiency tested on GrowSafe system. More than 50% of the bulls are suitable for heifers. There's data for DNA, data for birth, weaning, and yearlings, and there's ultrasound data. The Davis Angus Value Genetics Bull and Female Sale is Saturday, March 5th at 12:30 at the Clinton Livestock Auction. Get information online at davisangus.com or go to Facebook and search Davis Angus.
Mind Money Tracker is a function on our mobile banking app. We started with a template, but it really was in the hands of First National to customize the app to be what it wants to be. As more things come out, as reality changes, as the world changes, the app will constantly be updated with new functionalities so that budgeting can still be made easy and can still be right at your fingertips, because that's our goal at First National, is to give you access to your money at all times.
I'm Kelsey Werner, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City.
Member FDIC.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
All right, welcome back. Current weather on the Oklahoma Mesonet is 57 degrees, humidity's at 37, north wind 6, gusting up to 11. And on the phone with me right now is Mr. Gary McManus. He's a climatologist for the Oklahoma Mesonet. Did I get that correct, sir?
Close enough. I'm the state climatologist for Oklahoma, and I work there at the Mesonet there at the National Weather Center at the University of Oklahoma.
Oh, well, I had it close.
Close enough.
Yeah, it was close enough. Well, welcome to the Today in Ag show, and thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. I know we were going to do it last week, but that storm come in and everything went crazy anyway. So I'm glad you're here, because I hope to have you on the show more often.
That sounds great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem. Well, first things first, my first text message come in already for a question, so I'm going to start it out with this question, and then we'll get into the serious stuff. How's that?
Sounds good.
The first text message come in, it says, how dry does it have to get before the gophers leave?
pretty dry. Well, actually, you know, those things, they like to be a pest, but that can withstand just about everything. So,
well, I know the gophers.
They're like cockroaches. I think they're one of the last things to leave.
Well, I know the golf course is out here cussing them this winter, so they're, there's plenty of them. But, well, right now I was looking at the U.S. Drought Monitor, and it is updated today. And nothing in Oklahoma looks like it's really changed at all, except for maybe eastern Oklahoma. It's actually improved. Is that what you're seeing?
Yeah, you know, this last storm, eastern Oklahoma got from 1 to 2 inches, even more than 2 inches in some cases down in far southeastern Oklahoma, of liquid equivalent moisture. Some of that was rain, some of it was ice, unfortunately, and some of it was snow. So they did get an improvement over in far eastern Oklahoma. West central Oklahoma, much of western Oklahoma, you got maybe a quarter inch in some places that were lucky enough, maybe a little bit more in some cases, a little bit less in others. And that's really not enough to erase those deficits that we've seen all the way back to, you know, mid-August when the heat really set in and the rain shut off. So no improvements across western Oklahoma, unfortunately, or the much in the Texas Panhandle.
Well, I can verify this for you physically. I've seen it. The only improvement we've seen out here is there is actually some moisture in the bar ditches where all that snow blew to. So you're good there. We did get more than a quarter inch in the bar ditches. So,
yeah, that's the thing with snow. It's great for relieving drought in the fact that it sits in one place and soaks into the soil. But unfortunately, it was a dry snow and it blew up into big piles. And so it improved the soil moisture in very localized areas, but not widespread. So. And, of course, that doesn't help, really, fill up any farm ponds, which I know are desperately dry across western Oklahoma. We don't need good rains for that. But, you know, a good snow definitely works wonders, but it would help if it would spread out a little bit.
Yeah, if it, you know, the snow we got there, the first one we got, two, 3 weeks ago, it actually did a little bit of good. It wasn't blowing. It had moisture in that snow. And I know we had 2, 3, 4, 5 inches of snow, which gave us a quarter to three-tenths of moisture, which helped, but it didn't last long since we've been so dry so long.
Yeah, at least in wetting that topsoil, which, you know, prevents it from blowing and at least gives some of the vegetation a little bit of a chance to do something. But really need some big snows or preferably some big rains, you know, in the near future.
Yeah, well, if you guys are just joining me, I have state climatologist Gary McManus on here with me, and I knew you was a climatologist, so I get an A for effort, right?
Oh yeah, you definitely get an A. I answer to many things, often bad things, you know, because I deal with the weather, so no problem there.
Lacey comes on, or she tries to come on every Tuesday on the show, and she texted me last night and asked me if I was excited to have you on today, and I said, oh, yeah. I said, what do you want me to ask him? She said, oh, yeah, just start a conversation with him. He'll take it from there. So.
Oh, yeah. I got the gift of gab, unfortunately, but, you know, I write that ticker almost every day, and that really gets it out of me a little bit, but, I'll talk about just about anything.
Oh, well, let's start out. You just topped it. You just kind of mentioned it there, the soil moisture. Our soil moisture out here in western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle is way low. Top soil down deeper. I mean, it's getting pretty bad.
Oh yeah, definitely. And you know, it's really a come on over the last 6 months. You know, like I said earlier, that heat really started to set in mid-August. Right, we could really pinpoint just about the day, right about August 18th, it got hot, and it stayed hot by and large ever since then, you know, at least warmer than normal. We've had a few areas or a few periods in that time frame where we had a little bit of extended cold. Of course, the last couple of weeks we've had some extended cold, but by and large, and especially in December, we've been above average in temperature, and that really starts to leach that moisture from the soil. You know, and when the wind blows, of course, as it always does in western Oklahoma. I remember that one calm day we had back in 1998, and that was a lovely day. But ever since then, you know, it blows every day. I'm actually from Buffalo, Oklahoma. So I grew up out there in the 70s and 80s. So, you know, western Oklahoma is where my heart is. Spent so much time out there. It's the best place on earth. You know, when anytime you get east of I-35, it's like a foreign country because they have these things called trees, which I'm not really that fond of. I like to be able to see the horizon in all directions. You know, but at any rate, I certainly know what happens out there. The sun bakes the soil. The wind starts blowing and that leaches the soil, and of course you have the red cedar and you have the wheat wanting that water and all the vegetation. So at this point in time, you're definitely in bad shape, really all the way down through the soil column, going down to several feet. So not a good situation out there at all.
Well, does this look like to you a 2011 all over?
Well, you know, I would never try and compare something to 2011 until it actually happens, because I wouldn't want to make that kind of prediction just yet. But I will say, as of now, we're way ahead of where we were in 2011 as far as drought goes and dryness. So if we look at this time in February back in 2011, I think we probably had moderate to severe drought out there in western Oklahoma, probably more moderate at this time. It started in October, you know, and it went through the winter months. So right now, with how bad it was in December and how hot it was, you know, 10 degrees above normal in December is absolutely incredible to even talk about. But that's what it was. So we're way ahead of where we were in 2011. Like I said, I'm not going to predict we'll have another 2011, but it certainly looks bad right now. And, you know, it's very similar also to what we had in the 2017-2018 cool season, when it really looks a lot closer to that at this point, you know, 2017 starting there in the late fall. And by early winter, just like now, 2018, we were over 100 days without a quarter inch of rainfall in any single day, and that's where we are now. So it got really bad there in the spring of 2018. So for now, I would compare it to the spring of 2018.
Well, like
2018, yeah.
Did I lose you?
Oh, no, I'm still here. Did you have a question?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. There was a little delay there on your phone. But, You said something about 2018. Well, from the fall of 2018, from October, I have land down there west of Willow, which is down in the Badlands, the Breaks, we all call it. And
Right. Since
October 2018 till now, I've only had water in the ponds 3 months out of this whole time frame. And it was gone again last fall. I mean, it's just, but you touched on something during your interview that caught my interest with Hannah Scholl of Channel 9 when you did that deal on the drought and how it's affecting the farming and ag industry.
Sure.
And you said that drought line, or is it called the drought line or the dry drought line, has shifted towards Oklahoma City away from the state line of Texas and Oklahoma. Can you touch on that a little bit?
Right. It's something that we've been watching more and more over the last few decades. It's starting to catch hold in the climatological circles. It's the 100th meridian. It's really a separation between the semi-arid areas, you know, out in the high plains, Texas and Oklahoma, panhandles, versus the more moist air and climate to the east of that 100th meridian. You know, I grew up, like I said, in Buffalo, right along that 100th meridian.
Yeah, you was right there. So.
Yeah, so I could go out and throw a rock and hit that imaginary line if I wanted to. But the weather that it separates, so that basically, you know, about 10 to 15 to 20 inches of rainfall to the west of that line versus, you know, 20 plus inches of rain as we go to the east of that line. And of course, it increases to 50 to 60 inches as we get in eastern Oklahoma. That separation of climate between the semi-arid and the moist air has started to shift farther to the east. And now it's estimated by some research to be really closer to I-35. So as we've warmed up over the last few decades, really over the last 40, 50 years, that warming up of the atmosphere out there has sort of shifted that line further to the east because of the increase in the evaporation. It's not really as much of an impact as less rainfall. It is a little bit, though, in the fact that the rainfall has started to come farther apart, but heavier at times when it does rain. So it's a combination of things, but that separation between the semi-arid of the high plains there and the panhandles versus what we see just to the east of that line has really started to shift. And, of course, that has huge ramifications when it comes to the wheat belt of Oklahoma and what you can grow. And, like you said, keeping your farm ponds full or even with half full, it does start to have an impact. And we've seen a lot more abandonment of wheat acres over the last few decades, too, as we've gone through time. So it all starts to have an impact of what you can grow and when you can grow it and, you know, what livestock you can keep. And it's just a very complicated matter that has huge ramifications for the individual farmers out there trying to make a living.
Yeah, it was, you know, it started out good in August. We had some rains and everybody got fired up. And, you know, because even up in Kansas, the Texas Panhandle, and even south of us, everybody, you know, into north western Texas, you know, we depend a lot on wheat pasture, early wheat pasture for cattle. And, man, everybody got it in, got it up. It was looking good. Matter of fact, I was bragging on everybody for about a week to 10 days in here. I was like, you gung-ho, you go. You're going to have cattle out there. And then it's just like you turn the valve handle off. And there's some, you know, the wheat's actually dormant right now, but it doesn't look good. I mean, I hate to be pessimistic, but the wheat crop, unless you have irrigation, just don't look good. But, you know, like out in Texas Panhandle, you know, they depend a lot on the Ullagaw Reservoir for their irrigation. Well, that thing's going down in a hurry. And
sure. And you know, that's the problem that you can see in the high plains out there in western Oklahoma and in the panhandles, is that the weather can turn on a dime. So you can have that happen over here in central and eastern Oklahoma, but they don't have the evaporation that you folks do out there. I mean, I grew up with it. I know exactly what happens. And if you look at the last 6 months since August, that's actually the warmest 6 months on record in Oklahoma. For western Oklahoma.
Really?
So if you go August through January, the warmest 6 months on record, 4 to 5 degrees above normal over that time frame, people don't understand what that does to the evaporation rates. And you also, you know, when you keep it warmer longer, you have plants growing longer, and they want that water. So you had that wheat come up, and it was thirsty because it was growing like crazy.
Oh, yeah.
They had such a great start with all that good rainfall early. But then you shut the water off and you keep that heat up, and you know it starts to starve the soil. The sun's beating down; it's leaching that water out of the soil too, and then it starts to feed off each other.
And you need to get the wind.
And the wind blows; it always blows out there. You know, that's probably part of the reason I'm half bald. It's because it blew off my head growing up out there. But you know how it is.
You should have wore a cap.
Exactly. I just know, you know.
Well, hey.
But that's how it happens.
Well, I need to take a break here. Can you hang tight with me for a few minutes?
I sure can. Well, if you need me.
All right. Everybody, we got state climatologist Gary McManus on here with me on the Today in Ag Show. And we'll be right back after this break. And we'll take up some more climate change. How's that?
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, February 7th. 567 head were sold. 5 head of steers at 467, brought 210. 14 at 565, brought 180. 7 at 738, brought 160. 4 at 789, brought 158. 28 at 805, brought 156.75. 15 head of heifers at 380, brought 185. 9 at 482, brought 176.50. 13 at 612, brought 143. 26 at 759, brought 153. 32 at 850, brought 143. Butcher cows were 57 to 92. Bred cows brought 700 to 885. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
I'm back. According to the Oklahoma Mesonet, we are 58 degrees. The winds are dying down to basically nothing out of the north, northwest at 5 miles an hour, gusting up to 10. The humidity's hanging in there at 36%. On the phone with me today to join the show is state climatologist Gary McManus. And man, I appreciate you joining us. And so far, you've answered the questions with good. And I'm glad to hear you're one of the homeboys from out here. So that's good to know. And he's from Buffalo. And what made you get into climatology or weather, however you want to look at it?
Well, you know, like I said, I grew up in the 70s and 80s, and my first weather memory was the blizzard of 1971 in Buffalo, where we have the snowstorm of record for the state, 36 inches. Of course, we had 60 mile per hour winds at that time, you know, and we had drifts 20 foot high. We had Chinook helicopters coming over, dropping food and feed for the cattle and rescuing people. And it was a two-week period, really, where, you know, back in those days, I mean, it was just, well, it's just kind of scary. But that was 50 years ago now. But we were cut off as a community. Really, the whole northwestern part of the state was cut off.
It was bad here in Elk City, but, I mean, not sure. Near what it was up there. But, I remember that storm.
Right, so that stuck with me, and then, as you know, I went to OU to get my meteorology degree, and then, you know, I started to try and forecast, and I quickly learned that I should probably stop trying to tell people what it's going to do and then tell them what it did. I'm much better at telling people what occurred afterwards than what I was occurring beforehand, so
that's awesome.
I just sort of naturally went into climatology. You know, it's just part of my interest to look at all the records and the stats and things of that nature, and that just sort of flowed from there, so to speak.
Well, I'm glad you did, because I've done a lot of research on you since Hannah did that interview with you, and I thought, man, I need to get this guy on the show, and I started researching some of the stuff you've helped with, books and stuff, and you know what you're talking about. So anyway, what do you, any thoughts on what you talked about the high temperatures, the warmest basically last 5 or 6 months on, cause I knew December was the warmest December of all time. What do you got, anything you're looking at down the road? Is there any relief, or is it just look like you really don't know, or what's going on?
Well, you know, we do have a storm system, you know, coming in next week. I'm not going to predict anything good for Western Oklahoma, simply because it seems like Western Oklahoma and the panhandles get left out every time. But then, you know, that's the weather, that's the climate out there, though. If we're lucky, we'll get some good moisture next week. But after that, it's just another case of, when's that next rainfall going to come? I don't have an outlook that's good for the next few months for West Oklahoma. But, again, that doesn't mean that it's not going to happen.
Right.
We still have that La Nina occurring out in the western Pacific, the equatorial Pacific, I mean, which tends to bring western Oklahoma and the panhandles a little bit warmer and a little bit drier than normal weather, and we've certainly seen that. It shifts that jet stream farther to the north, so we get fewer storm systems. But, you know, that doesn't mean that we can't have a couple of good rains here in the next couple of weeks or the next 3-4 weeks. It's just that the odds are sort of tilted against that, and it's unfortunate that we've gotten so far ahead in the drought before spring. But, you know, spring's always a time of hope for me. Spring starts March 1st for climatologists, so still a dry time normally, but we'll hold out hope that we get some relief out there.
Well, yeah, we always do. And, you know, I know there's a lot of farmers right now twiddling their thumbs or flipping a quarter up in the air just trying to decide whether to, you know, this is the time of the year you top dress your wheat crop. But a lot of guys don't know what they have right now. And so,
exactly.
I mean, the wheat's dormant, and especially from last week
promise you, I was out in there calving some heifers, and it got cold. And it was super cold. And then you get the wind, and then the dry snow didn't help matters at all. I just assumed that not snow is put dry snow on the ground. they just got some major decisions to do right now. And we, you know, last year was such a good year for crops and everything. And then, bam, Mother Nature just, you know, put it, like, hits the hold button. You know, hey, let's, you guys, right. You know, I got to go somewhere else for a while. And I got one question personally for myself. You talked about that drought line has moved, shifted from the 100th meridian to I-35. What has it done from the east coming this way? Got wetter? We're talking about this shift right here. What else has happened with the weather patterns anywhere in the United States to go along with this?
Right. So, of course, one thing we've seen, if we look farther west, is an intense, prolonged drought across the desert southwest. I know it's the desert southwest, but really most of the western United States have drastically dried out and heated up over the last few decades. Really beyond anything that anybody thought was going to happen that quickly. And that's sort of where you get that semi-arid line pushing farther to the east. It's sort of expanding out there in the west, and that's, you know, encroaching upon the panhandles of Oklahoma and western Oklahoma, the panhandles of Oklahoma and Texas. So that's where we get that part. Now, we've also seen across much of the northern hemisphere, including the United States, intense precipitation events start to increase in frequency. So whenever we do get rain, snow, ice, it tends to be a little bit more ramped up, but out in our part of the country, those periods of precipitation have started to get a little bit farther apart. So what happens is you'll see a really big-time rain or a big-time snow or a big-time ice storm, but then you'll go farther apart in between those events. But that allows drought to sort of catch hold a little bit more often, and when we get those more intense events, what we get is more runoff. We don't get necessarily more soaking into the soil because it happens a little bit more intensely, so more runoff, so that increases the drought chances and the drought intensification just a little bit. It is getting wetter across the eastern United States, especially the northeastern U.S., in that area. So that's really the broad change that we've seen, is hotter and drier down in the southwestern part of the United States, again, encroaching up here into the western parts of Oklahoma, and wetter and a little bit warmer up in the northeastern parts of the United States, you know, and there's a little bit fuzzy line in between those things that we've seen. And that's it in a nutshell right there, is the two vast differences. And, of course, the farther north you get, the more rapidly the temperatures are rising over the last few decades. And when you get up into the Arctic, they've seen, you know, a huge amount of temperature changes versus what we've seen down here.
I gotcha. Well, you got time for one more little small segment with me after this commercial I take here?
I sure do.
Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break, and I have Gary McManus, state climatologist, on here with me today, and we'll be right back after this.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hello, this is Sean Wyatt. I have a cow-calf operation, and I buy my feed from Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. Kent will provide the best service possible. I highly recommend giving SEI Agritech a call about your feed and minerals.
If you want better feed and better results, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City. your local Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, located on South Randall in Elk City.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in Hi-Pro Feeds. At Hi-Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local Hi-Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks, see their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
I'm back. I'm going to give you the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast here off the Mesonet. It's currently 60 degrees. The wind's northwest 9 miles an hour. Today, high 62. Tomorrow, breezy and 65. Saturday, a little breezy at 49. It's going to cool down. But Sunday, here we come back, 61 degrees, and Monday, 64. And that is your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger. I got Mr. Gary McManus on the phone with me right now. He's the state climatologist, and he went to OU. Anyway, I had to say that. Sorry, I'm an OU fan. I got a lot of OSU people that listen to me, though, so I got to be careful and not push the right button. Yeah. I don't want anybody.
I know the feeling.
We had a guy text in yesterday, and I wanted to touch on it if you want to. But he wants to – and first of all, I know up there at the arms deal up there by Billings that they just started a deal here a while back where they're doing a – 5-year study on wind towers and weather change with wind towers. What's your thought about wind towers and climate change?
Well, you know, wind towers, I'm not sure they're going to have a huge impact, but they do change the weather. At least that's what the science says in that little part of the area where they are. So, you know, of course, I grew up there in Buffalo, and we had wind towers move in after I actually had already left, but I was going back. You know, I love the horizon out there, love to see the sky, and here come these wind towers.
These little blinking red lights.
Yes, and they're pretty awesome to get up beside, but if you want to see the sky, they're not so great. But what they do is that atmosphere starts to separate at times, and it keeps the warm air up above, and the cool air sinks down below. You know, we have what we call an inversion, and it's called the separation of the boundary layer. When those turbines are spinning, they mix that air back up, and so it tends to maybe keep that air a little bit warmer down close to the surface, close down where we're at versus where up there where the wind turbines are spinning at. So it does keep it a little bit warmer around those wind turbines. At least that's what the research shows. And it's thought that, you know, when we have those huge areas of wind turbines, it might slow down the wind a little bit. Now, I know that's counterintuitive. You think, well, they're just spinning along with the wind, but they are giving some resistance to the wind, otherwise they wouldn't spin. So there is a little bit of an impact, I think, more on I don't know if you'd call it a micro scale or a meso scale. It just depends on how big your wind farm is. And of course we know that they kill birds. But at least for the weather, it is thought that they help keep that atmosphere churned up and a little bit warmer down close to the surface. I don't know if that's good or bad. I tend to like the way things continue the way they are, even though I hate cold weather. That cold weather has its place and its time, and it's needed and necessary for things. So any sort of disruption like that can have unintended consequences that we just don't know exactly what they are yet, I don't think.
But they're working on it. You know, that was really cool to hear that ARM up there was going to do. Because if you look at on their website at the arms deal up there at Billings, you can see wind towers in the background. So they don't have to go very far to study.
Right, and I actually worked for ARM as a graduate student. That's who funded my master's thesis. So they do great work. And, you know, I'm very interested in see what they find out because it does have implications for all of us, you know, right around, especially West Oklahoma around those, the direct area around those wind towers.
Well, they got one gentleman was telling me one time, and it hadn't been that long ago, last year sometime. He pulled north of Sayre, Oklahoma, and was driving up there towards Four Corners, we call it, going Highway 152 and 6 that goes out towards Wheeler. And there was enough moisture in the air that while those turbines were turning early in the morning, he could see that moisture surge over the top of those wind towers.
Oh, that'd be quite a sight. You never know what you're going to see out in the air out there, but that would be incredible to see.
Yeah, they do, but they that thing's going to be interesting because you got your haters out there of wind towers, you got your lovers of wind towers, and they all get their use. I mean, they are producing a lot of electricity. There's no doubt about that. They do have their use, but we're going to see how this study comes out, and I hope you're the first to find out. And then you text me and go, "Hey, Jimmy, you want to hear this on the radio? That's what I need to hear from you." So,
yeah, that'd be awesome. As long as the wind's going to blow, you might as well use it for something other than just stirring the dust up.
Oh, yeah. And I'm sure you're aware of this, but on the ag part of your climate, they're pushing a lot for cover crops. So so the ground doesn't bake so hard and, put off so much heat. There's all kinds of things going on. Some of it's got good intentions and some of it doesn't. But most part, cover crops has great intentions for keeping the ground cooler and not. You said it earlier in the show, this thing out here, when you don't have crops, it's barren. It heats up. It cracks. It bakes.
It's right.
So cover crops are the coming thing. So we hope that will help with our issues that we have with farming coming up in the near future.
Right. It's one of the most important lessons that we learned from the Dust Bowl period. And that was the more you expose that soil out there, the bare soil, to the elements, to the sun and to the wind, the more soil moisture you're going to lose. And then once you start to lose the soil moisture, it absorbs more heat, that ground does, because it's not being used to evaporate the soil moisture, and it just bakes hard, and that it creates more heat, which causes more drought, and it starts to work hand in hand. So, those cover crops, they can make a huge difference. And again, it's one of the biggest lessons we learned from the 1930s, and the 1950s were almost as bad, but we didn't have the big Dust Bowl because of the lessons they learned just 20 years previous. So important lessons on those cover crops, definitely.
Yeah, in the agriculture industry, we're learning something all the time. And, obviously we're trying to make it better, because farmers and ranchers are the best stewards of the land that you got going. And
oh, yeah, no doubt about that. When I, growing up in Buffalo, working with the farmers, I always had a farm job. They care so much about the land. And because the land takes care of them, if they take care of the land, it will help take care of them. And great stewards of the land and just the salt of the earth.
Oh, yeah. And we've got, what else can we touch on this drought that we got going on? You're the brainchild behind all this weather stuff. And I'm just, is there any outlook? Do you got any outlook coming up? I guess we touched on that. But do you have any additional thoughts on this drought that we got going on right now?
One thing I worry about that we've seen in the past, 5 or 6 years when we've had these big droughts out there would be the wildfire season, because we did have such a wet and cool summer out there, at least for the, for the most part. So we did have a lot of growth of vegetation, and now all of that's dormant. Some of it's even dead from the drought. All those, red cedars are out there just wick dry waiting for a spark. And we've seen over the last 5 or 6 years, when we have a bad fire day come up with that vegetation that's grown up, we can have a huge problem with wildfires. So we're just right now getting into the worst of the wildfire season there, the late winter, early spring, when those cold fronts start to come, those storm systems start to come back down, and we start to get more of those dry lines that come through. You don't really get those during the winter. But when those dry lines come through and we get the relative humidities drop into the single digits out there, and the winds kick up to 40 to 50 to 60 miles per hour behind those dry lines, you can get some horrendous wildfires. That's one thing I worry about, and that's one of the reasons, I'm so hopeful for some rainfall. If it's going to be warm like it has been, I know it's been cooler lately, but if it's going to be warmer than normal, let's get some rainfall and get some green up and you know, kick down that wildfire season a little bit, because, again, some of those fires over the last 5 or 6 years, just horrific, and especially farther up as you go up into the northwestern parts of the state. And, that's one of the things I worry about when we get in this time of year and we have drought out in western Oklahoma.
Well, yeah, look what happened up there in Kansas not too long ago. I mean, 400,000 or 500,000 acres, and and that was last month. They got 2 more months to look at that before things start changing over the, up there. And what was that, 17 and 18, because I delivered some hay up there at Buffalo, your hometown, and that was a bad one. I mean, I've never seen so much destruction in all my life. It was a bad deal.
Right, and that actually burned our old homestead house that had been standing, you know, since the since the early of the 20th century. We had my parents my mom grew up in a single like bedroom house with 9 people in it.
One room house.
That was crazy. I was like, well, got it pretty good now, but you know, I stood out there in a pasture and I. You just got consumed by fire. Most of the western parts of Harper County burned up that fire. And so that's the kind of fire we worry about, because once it gets going in those, you know, 40 to 60 mile per hour winds out there behind one of those dry lines, just really not much that can stop it unless you can steer it into some green wheat pasture. And there's not much green wheat pasture.
No, there's not. Well, I got 2 Texas I got to tell you about. The first one is... may not be good at football, but they can predict weather, so that's the OSU joke towards us. So
this year they can say that, right?
Yeah, and it's been a while since they could say that. And another guest texted in, what a great guest you was, because he watches SUNUP every weekend, so you must be on the SUNUP every weekend, huh?
Yeah, unfortunately, I have a face for radio, but they put me on the TV there too. So sorry about that.
No, it's all good. Well, Gary, I hope you'll come back on in the future. Maybe we'll get some weather pattern changing, and when it starts changing, if you don't mind, I'll have you on one time, and we'll talk again and talk about what caused the pattern to change. And because everybody loves weather. They get up every morning. The first thing they do is turn the TV on to either watch Lacey or Channel 4 or Channel 5, and then they got the radio on. They want to hear the weather forecast. So weather is everybody's pet peeve as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, I would love to come on. Nobody ever wants me to come talk when the weather's good. You know, well, how's the weather? It's good. All right, what can we talk about? Well, you know, the weather's good, so... I'd love to come on anytime you want to have me.
Well, I'm going to reverse that, because when the weather does get good, I'm going to get you on and ask you when the weather's going to get bad again.
Okay. There you go.
How's that? Well, thank you again for coming on, and I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, anytime. Thanks for having me.
All right, have a great day.
You too, sir.
All right, bye. Well, that was state climatologist Gary McManus that came on, and Lacey said he's got a really good sense of humor. Of course, he's from western Oklahoma, so why wouldn't he have a good sense of humor? You know, all my eastern Texas panhandling buddies got a good sense of humor, too. So anyway, we got that going on. Well, I'm about out of time, and tomorrow... we got all kinds of things to talk about. Woodward Livestock Auction calf sales was today. We got stuff going on at the Elk City Livestock Auction. It's just gonna be a busy time. And I appreciate everybody listening and participating in the text line questions for him. The gopher one was the best one. He never really did answer that, did he? Yeah, I'll send him an email and see what he's got going on to that. So anyway, everybody, have a great day. There's my music playing. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. God bless.